questions? Discussion? Comments? Because, you know, we can talk about medical drill. Yeah.
So mine isn't actually a question. It's a comment for you, Chris, actually. I know that you said that you were very surprised that the anonymous users use very positive emotion language and stuff like that. And, I assume that's because you assumed they'd be anonymous because they might want to claim or they might feel like they could or whatever. I interpreted it differently. I think it makes a lot of sense that you found what you found just because if you're anonymous, didn't you find that they're less engaged if they're anonymous?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that those people are new. And so, you know, maybe,
they're not comfortable with it. Yeah, they're not necessarily new because the engagement controls for how long they've been on the site. So they're lurkers, basically. They just don't comment very much.
So maybe not so comfortable that they don't really know the norms and stuff. So maybe there's a lot more positive emotion because they don't want to kind of test. They're still testing the waters. They don't want to stir up anything and they're not, you know, whatever. Whereas the people who are identifiable and putting, you know, all their information on there and using it a whole lot, it's probably like home to them. They're so comfortable, they can say whatever they want.
I mean, yeah, and talking about this more, you know, it came up with that idea, and it's interesting, though, because I've also seen these discussions on Metafilter where people, there's that sort of meme, right, that says anonymity is about flaming and hostility, and I've seen people on Metafilter say the same thing, and say, like, there was some thread not that long ago said, we should require first names from everybody, because then all be accountable. You know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Right? Then they'll all be accountable, and they'll stop being so bad, such bad people.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, no, actually, so I mean, it's surprising in that the members of the community themselves buy into this notion that somehow it's anonymity that allows for bad behavior when that doesn't seem to be the case.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like with the living room thing, that strikes home with me with spending a lot of time with the regulars, obviously, is that, yeah, I think you get comfortable in your living room and you also kind of get sick of everybody's shit. And so that's why maybe the games people get a little more aggro. They're like, you know what? I've heard this a dozen times. Just shut the fuck up. I know what's going on. And yeah, they aren't trying to be constructive. They're just like tired, you know, and then they come up with you.
Yeah. I would wonder if like even having this sort of relatively small amount, $5 to require to actually participate in the community, that's a huge amount to change the discourse and the sort of way in which people are engaging with other people in that community. I mean, it does make it much more of this sort of like, I'm thinking back to Hardwired piece, of course, like the well, like that classic, you know, sort of the first generation of, you know, of people entering into this virtual communities and having this idealized thing, and sort of what little I've seen of, you know, that I've spin in the culture, which is incredible. I've been struck by sort of that idealized kind of virtual community, even with, you know, like the grumpiness and threats, but it's not like it's never that kind of way. And I'm just thinking, like, the difference between that, I mean,
oh yeah.
You know, I mean, like we know that that's probably.
Yeah.
We can all sit here and go. Probably everybody's going to be kind of an ass on YouTube, and they don't have that boulevard. Like, so is there something a qualitative difference? Like, what is it about another culture that would is making this unique?
Well, I think you're right, and it's evidenced by the fact that half the people bail out before they send the
$5. Like, I don't know if I'm going to
help, right? So we got like 140,000 user numbers and only 70,000 people have actually completed the sign-up process. When I surveyed members of the site about what factors contribute to the collective identity of the site, that got brought up so many times. I was amazed how many times people mentioned, and they're kind of proud of it. Like, we have this barrier to entry. It's this exclusivity. And I think going beyond, and then I'll shut up here, I think going beyond the idea of anonymity versus pseudonymity, there we go, I can never quite get it out, versus real names, it's not so much which one of those you want, but it's the persistence of identity, right? And so that all activity on the site is tied back to your user account, and whether or not it's your real name attached to it or not, that user account accrues a reputation and credibility and trust over time, whether or not you can trace it to a real human being outside of the site. And that's what's lacking on a site like YouTube, and that's what's intentionally lacking on a site like 4chan, which, you know, deletes the posts very regularly.
Yeah, Katie? Well, both of us, I actually posted this in MetaTalk a couple weeks ago, that what's really unique about MetaFilter is that identity that has credibility associated with it, with your username that has maybe nothing to do with what your real world credibility might be. So there might be somebody that I know is excellent at cross-stitch or something. You know, they have this credibility on a topic that has so much authority over years of posting on that topic. And so this anonymity, it doesn't even really matter because I know them as, you know, cool girl 42 or whatever, and I know that she knows a whole lot about living in Denver or something. So it's not the same, I think. But it's not like, it might be, it's not anonymous separate from your real life identity, because you have this other identity that might overlap in certain degrees with your real identity.
Yeah, to the extent that if you set aside people actually taking someone's identifiable handle, but they're, you know, Joe Schmo, if you're not famous, then your real name or your lack of anonymity really only matters if someone decides they want to go looking for some reason, either because they think you're awesome or maybe because they think you suck. We just want to try and keep that from happening, because that witch hunt stuff is weird. But yeah, if you're not like, you know, Waz, then it doesn't matter that your name is on your account or not, because no one knows who you are anyway. That's that experience over time that defines your character.
I think going back to your question, I think there's another aspect, which is what is the fundamental nature of metaphor, which is to ask and receive. And so the fundamental ethos is not just sharing, because YouTube is sharing a one-way share, right? I'm posting in your face, or you like what you're doing, whatever. The whole concept here is fundamentally putting up information which is useful to other people. And that's the basic thing, compared to everything else. So it would seem just offhand that it's going to induce a lot of negativity, because if you aren't there for that purpose, why would you spend time?
Yeah, it's sort of a sense of collaboration.
Well, also the size of the community too, right? I mean, can you imagine the scaling up too? What if this were like a 10 times or 100 times larger community? Would this scale in the same way? Is it something about the size is like this sort of nice, perfect sort of perfect thing, you know, that keeps it both the architecture and the size of the community?
Yeah, but it's probably very hard to scale up.
Andre?
Just to add confusion and fun to the discussion. So I've heard a couple of mentions of YouTube as a place where thou shalt not tread, in part because of its chaotic nature. And I've recently started studying YouTube and working with other people who are much better at it than I am. And what I find is that YouTube is what you want it to be when you go to YouTube. So I'm specifically looking at instances where African-American women are using YouTube to conduct tutorials for natural hairstyles. And the comment threads that they have, which are detailed in responses, building shared communal history, and maybe positive representation. So if you wanted to go to the Believers, the Bieber videos with 16 million views, you will see a certain kind of power, but if you go look for something else. So the reason why I brought that up, and so one of the things I've been arguing, and I'm glad you came to my business way, I don't sound crazy, I've been arguing that websites have ethos for a long time. And I think the comments that were made today allow design around this aspect you shall receive directly shaped the exchange that you saw, but based on what I just said about YouTube, is it possible that there are interactions on metafilter that are not as altruistic as this one? And does that also constitute the ethos of metafilter?
Well, I think what you're talking about on YouTube, for instance, we're not looking at a single monolithic community, we're looking at lots of different sub-communities that all operate on a particular site. And we even have that on a much smaller scale, I think, on Metafilter. And I hope Josh will back me up on this, right? Because we've got users from when you look at the info dump, you can see that certain users participate only on one of the sites, right?
Oh,
there are people who never do anything with the Blue, and you ask them about this thing called Metatalk, and they're kind of not even sure what you mean.
They've heard mentioned.
Right. They've never come in there. And then there are people who only do the question and answers on Ask Metafilter, and there are people who are really just into posting music and projects, maybe not the IRL stuff as much, but right, all of these different subsites. And then even within those, so you can customize Ask Metafilter to send you an RSS feed just based. So there's a little tab that's my Ask Metafilter, just looking for keywords of things that I know about and that I'm interested in. So I participate just in technology-related discussions on Ask MedFilter, for instance, and mostly cross-stitch stuff. I'm CoolGirl42 is my user. you can put whatever kinds of things you want, and you can make that community into a smaller sub-community.
I think that happens both formally and informally. MedFilter doesn't have a lot of formal stuff like there. And I don't know if YouTube has any formal sort of separate organizations. So like, if you have people in a topic-based interest, I don't know if you really have the YouTube people who are really into cross-stitch channels.
Formally or and follow different
posters. Oh, but yeah, so like you're looking like, I like this poster, but there's not necessarily a...
It's
like,
not a separate user account.
It's not like cross-stitch.youtube.com dedicated. But yeah. So you have that organization, you look at Reddit's call and subreddits where, and yeah, I think that's the interesting, and the problem with YouTube is everybody sees the Beaver videos and they don't see the little, because every once in a while I'll find something like that too, I'll find a video with like 200 views and a really great conversation, and it's like, no one's going to see it because it's a total niche thing. But yeah, it is interesting that you have these separate groups. I think it'll rise any large enough group where not everybody's totally in the same way, like you get that sort of, that subculture thing where you start to get like better and worse depending on who is interested in looking at pictures of cats exploding versus, you know, interesting literary history.
Okay. So an implication would be, go back to your data, if you could define what some of the subgroups are and see if they vary upon that exchange collaborative nature, and then see if there's variation in association.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll find a few places where you don't have those in a different relationship. So that would actually get at that question.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about this too. I mean, the first idea was I did this whole qualitative analysis of the thread and developed all these wonderful categories, and we had all these human coders who failed utterly to get any intercoder reliability, like, whatsoever. And that was the first key about context, because they were just, you know, graduate students, and we trained them, and we trained them again, and then we trained them again, and then we had, like, Skype conversations, and like, they couldn't see it because they were just not members of the community and they couldn't agree on anything. So it was also, like, decided how do you... So the community has some definition of hostility. How do you get inside that, right? And how do you figure out what it is that this community believes is acceptable behavior and, you know... Because, yeah, people on MetaFilter often talk about how much better we are than, like, Yahoo Ask or whatever and, you know, and Reddit and... Ask Yahoo, right? So, you know, like, we have these all internal conversations about the quality of discourse, and then at the same time, people will turn around and say things like, oh, but we need real names for, you know, this stuff, or, oh, but, you know, there's so much grar, or, oh, everything would be better if there just weren't any favorites because, you know, favorites are ruining MetaFilter. So, there's kind of this contradiction within the community itself.
Wait, I think we're going to have naturally two things that make sure it's everybody's got a sense of exception. But also, you have that lack of self-perception about this stuff. Like, you don't see your own biases, so you may not even be aware of your own exceptionalism and the fact that you think the place is awesome because it's the place that you want.
Yeah.
We have
5 minutes.
Yeah. I should disclose up front, I'm part of a research project that's been comparing answers, question and answer chains from across Yahoo and Answer Bank. I inherited these and Ask MetaFilter.
Did you present that in Milwaukee?
No.
Well, wait, yes. Yeah, I remember that.
So, and that was the question phase. We went to the answer phase. And with respect to your last comment, I think, well, the way we would describe it, I mean, we did find Ask MetaFilter, I'm going to use a verb, but then I'm going to walk it back, outperformed the other two sites in terms of how archivable the answers were and the likely fulfillment of people. But the other side of that is if we do a rough division between informational and conversational questions, just as general pools, the conversational stuff is happening over at the other spaces. So that $5 barrier does do some sorting. And I think we've got to be careful not to be dismissive of people who are looking for a friend and a lot of eyeballs. That can be valuable. It may not be valuable to the kind of users we are, our particular nerd community, but, you know, if someone wants to find out today who has the best fries, Burger King or McDonald's, they're not going to go
that ask benefit.
It would get deleted, wouldn't it? I mean, it's not allowed.
$5 definitely helps, you know, as a speed bump, but it's also heavily reinforced. That's one of the heaviest bits of moderation we do.
Right.
We actually very utility oriented, so check filter gets mixed. It's, you know, we try.
Yeah,
we saw that over and over again. But if 140 people are happily whiling the day away with Burger King, McDonald's, Burger King, CRISPR.
Yeah.
And they're happy.
Well, it's a big web. I think there's lots of different places than everybody should have.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it's not for me.
Yeah.
It's crazy making when you're trying to hand code answers.
Oh, yeah.
But.
And yeah, no, I mean, it's part of the sense of like entitlement and just, you know, it's the site I like, so therefore it's the best site. But yeah, I mean, and that's what people have these discussions about, the barriers to entry and the $5 and all of that is also like, we have these rules. Yeah, so we can be inclusive and we can keep out the sort of stuff. And there have been users in the past who have tried to challenge those rules and made this like a big thing. And we're like, that's, you know, again, it's a big web. Like there are other places if that's what you want, but we just don't do that here. And again, it's a source of tension. So we have like maybe 30 seconds left. If there's anything else, or well, thank you guys so much for coming to our panel and listening to us blather on about our favorite website, right? So this is like, okay, well, I'm gonna do this anyway. So how can I make this part of my job?
If any of you are secret Metafilter members, there's a meetup tonight.
Yes.
7 o'clock. So come join us.
Thank you all.
We're just really excited about Metafilter now. You can also
that's right. You can come and join. We can pull the $5 for poor graduate students. We can do like a scholarship.
Yeah.
But I was really thirsty. Well, this recording is still going.
Oh, really? That was not the really ghost comment. Was not in our first
Right. Well, yeah, now this one's still going.